a Rayo original podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
From Greatest Hits Radio,
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, hello, welcome. This is another Confessions podcast brought to you by all of your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. We gather around and we think, let's provide them with the number one podcast in the world. And that's precisely what we're going to do, because Sister Susie is here, as you can tell, in the pub.
I am indeed.
There's a confession somewhere from somebody who took your phone, just saying.
Yeah.
No forgiveness.
Okay, no forgiveness.
Brother Matthew in the gutter.
Yes, here I am.
That would be a challenge, wouldn't it? If someone said, yes, it was me that took Susie's phone, you would have to forgive.
I would obviously not forgive.
Not forgive on that one.
Obviously, no. Susie would never talk to me again. So.
And Sister Holly is absolutely in charge of the cupboard, which contains a lot of tat.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yep, that's very true.
I didn't say sprawl, just
in
case.
You didn't this week.
Well done.
Well, I thought that might be, you know, you're not sprawled anyway.
No, I'm not.
To attention.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Coming up, we will be stopping at the parish notice board where Matt will try out his very strange voices.
Totally normal voices.
As he reads out the latest five-star reviews. The Not For Broadcast section will get all the confessions that featured on the Drive Time show this week on Greatest Hits Radio, including Steve's molten metal disaster, everybody has to sometimes break the rules, Susan's nursing nightmare in through the outdoor, Emma's confession, welcome to the house of fun, but we start with Homer's exam confession, you cheat, you lie, you make me want to cry.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Homer, and we're in exam season, so it's an exam-based confession.
Oh, good.
And obviously, all the things that happen in this confession are reprehensible.
Oh, not allowed.
And not to be copied.
Not allowed.
Father Simon, forgiving Matt, also Holly and Susie, you won't speak to me after this. 'Tis the season for final examinations following many years of study, so I do not wish to plant ideas in hard-working students' minds, so this should carry a warning.
Okay.
There's the warning.
Yes.
Don't do any of this.
Yeah.
We're all told of AI scams, smartphone antics and other nefarious activities to cheat the exam system. But rest assured, this event took place in the 70s, long before any high-tech devices.
Wow.
We used good old-fashioned pen and paper, so no way around that. Maybe. Different times, I was finishing my teacher training. It was a long, arduous course with continual assessment and a final examination. The final exam was interesting in that we were given the question in advance. This was to carry out research in order that on the day, students could enter the examination hall with their heads full of facts, ready to commit to paper.
Of course.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's the general idea. I was busy revising and researching and making notes when an idea came into my head. I had to sit another exam prior to the big one, when my plan started to take shape. This earlier exam process was straightforward. Sit down, turn over your papers, and write for 3 hours. We're all familiar with that,
of course,
as a basic concept. But by chance, I mistakenly, very much mistakenly, had two blank pages of exam paper. They found their way up my jumper sleeve.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
To this day, I'm not quite sure how that happened, but okay. Two pages of blank paper were up my sleeve. Not wishing to waste paper, I decided to make my exam notes on said blank exam paper. I decided that my notes needed to be detailed with statistics and graphs and maps. It was so detailed that it filled all four sides of the exam papers. When the day of the final exam came round, I found myself again wearing my lucky jumper. Who knew that I was going to be doing that? And yes, I decided to return the exam papers, so I put them up my jumper. I entered the examination hall and sat down, and the written on papers just slipped out onto my desk.
Oh, of course they did.
How does that happen?
Oh, yes.
When we were commanded to start, I just carried on writing away in the same coloured ink. Things went well, and I wrote many more pages and finished just in time. And before judgment is passed, I have to point out that throughout my training, I had been a straight A student. So I obviously didn't need to cheat. It was just that I had so much data to share. And I also did it for the crack.
Oh, for the crack. Oh, right.
Well, as excuses go, Homer, that's pretty poor. And then this is the line that made me most interested in this confession. I went on to become a successful teacher, rising to become a head teacher.
Oh.
What?
Well, what an example. I like to think that I had a better understanding of all possibilities that pupils were, what they would get up to in exams. After all, we're only human. If I hadn't done this particular cheat, then I wouldn't have known that process. So I became a better head teacher as a result of this. I never, ever did anything like this again and seek for forgiveness as over 50 years have passed and I've never told anyone. So I hope that we can keep this a secret between ourselves. Certainly, Homer. But I would like to apologise to the person marking my exam paper for all the time it must have taken and hope that they were impressed. Yours beseechingly, Homer. Well, it certainly goes to prove that cheating has got nothing to do with modern technology.
No.
People have been cheating for a long, long time. But Homer, you were if you were a straight A student, why would you risk blowing the whole thing by putting a couple of fully loaded sheets of paper up your sleeve? Clearly the intention was to cheat. Anyway, so Homer, obviously a very successful headmaster. Who knows what we're going to get from Suze, though?
No, I'm very disappointed, Homer. He knew exactly what he was doing. And as you say, straight A student, what's the point? You didn't even need to do it, and you probably would have been fine anyway. And, you know, if you hadn't passed that exam, you wouldn't become a teacher or a head teacher. Maybe you shouldn't have been. And I'm afraid I can't forgive you. Shocking behaviour.
Stern words, Brother Matthew.
Indeed. I mean, I'm going to forgive because, I mean, he took a risk, didn't he? Because he was a straight A student and he could have jeopardised it all. Could have all gone wrong. But it didn't go wrong and he became a head teacher. He's very, he's a poacher turned gamekeeper, isn't he?
Is that right?
And set a thief to catch a thief. That's what he was doing
as well.
As well. Yeah, okay. Takes one to know one. That's another one. So all of those, and they're all phrases, aren't they? And they all add up to one thing, which is that he's forgiven because it worked. And if I hadn't worked, wouldn't have been a teacher, would he?
Okay.
So
and a bird in the hand.
And a bird is worth two of these, stitch and tie.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Any more phrases that you want to...
I was very happy with all of those, but they all worked, didn't they? Because you did to poach a turned gamekeeper, that was right.
Well, that was
and
fine if you
set a thief to catch a thief, that was also right. Mm-hmm. Takes one to know one. Those all work, don't they? There's a reason why they all work. And that's because they're true.
Yes.
Like what I said.
Clichés, I thought.
Yes, which are true because they're clichés.
Clichés aren't true, necessarily.
No, they are. The clichés often are true.
Is that right?
Yes.
What do you say, Holly? You just need to officiate on this one.
I don't think so.
No.
Sorry, Matt, you've lost that.
It looks like I'm in the minority, but right.
But it doesn't matter, Matt, because now is the chance for you to use your incredible array of voices.
Oh, now he needs to look at the script.
Let's have a look at the script, everyone, because all the 5-star reviews have been flooding in.
Page 3.
And here they are. Emma, you are marvellous. 5 stars. Hello to Simon, Matt, Holly and Susie. Just an appreciation note to say thank you for bringing sunshine to some gloomy days.
We do.
The confessions are great, but your reactions bring them to another level. Obvs, Matt 1 is king, but it was lovely to hear Matt 2 on your podcast. What? Matt 2. Matt 1 is king.
You're Matt 1.
You're Matt
2.
One.
Oh, Matt 2.
Oh, the other guy.
That was the
one that the foul-mouthed mentioning poo all the time, wasn't he? That's not allowed. Not allowed. Matt 2, despite the name.
He wasn't doing that. It wasn't...
No, that's what happened. I think you were off that week.
No,
Holly.
I was there.
No,
we're
all here.
The whole thing.
He was very good. Not as good.
Not as good, obviously. His voice is just delicious.
Yeah, Matt
which
two.
One? Don't know.
His voice
which
just
one?
Delicious.
Emma doesn't say.
No,
let's
Matt
assume
two.
It's Matt 1.
No, she said
have
Matt
listened
two.
From the beginning. We'll listen forever. You are wonderful. Thank you, Emma. Kiss, kiss. Neil says 5 stars.
I think Emma's very easily pleased.
5 stars is not enough for this podcast, says Neil. So I give it 5 galaxies full of stars. The Confessions podcast is a highlight of my week. I have listened to this for many years and have even bought the Confession books. Wow. Hashtag Matt for Supreme Leader.
When were the Confession books?
I'm just that was back in,
they were in the 90s.
The other place.
In fact,
the
90s. One was maybe end of the 80s, start of the 90s. There were three, I think, in total.
I have one.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. The best thing about them is, I mean, the stories are good, but the... cartoons done by Matt, who does the cartoons in the Daily Telegraph. And he's just one of the great cartoonists. So his illustrations, particularly of the goat, which is on the front, is one of my favourites. But anyway, yes, I didn't know they were still available. Maybe just on eBay for a penny.
Where did you get yours from, Susie?
I can't remember. I think someone gave it me.
Oh.
Could you sound a little bit more?
I am really pleased.
I sought it out on the day of publication.
I hunted it down. I hunted it down, and it's now prized possession. You should sign it. I'll bring it in.
Jason Bird finally says, 5 stars, keep it up. Long time listener, slow to catch up again. My confession is I have missed listening to this only because I love listening to you on your previous endeavour.
Can you try and get the emphasis in the right place?
I love listening to you on your previous endeavours.
There should have been a comma somewhere.
There's a comma there somewhere. I don't know what. Anyway, Jason Bird goes on. Now I have managed to find you again. Yay! I'm busy catching up on the past. But if I may get a bit of tat from the cupboard for my sins, for only being able to catch up now, I will be most thankful. By the way, I agree with Matt 99.9% of the time. Keep up the good work. Loving listening to you again. Thank you. Thank you, Jason Bird.
There's zero... Yes. 0.1%.
0.1% of the time he doesn't agree with me. Yeah. But, you know, I'll take that.
You
Holly,
also...
Because a magnanimous guy.
Missed Neil's hashtag, which Neil's I thought hashtag. You would enjoy.
Neil's hashtag,
on the
Jason.
On
the next page.
No, this on the first you, page.
On the first page. Yeah. Neil's hashtag. No, yeah, I said that. Matt for hashtag Matt for Supreme Leader. Yeah, that was in the... I read that out. Okay. But everyone, again, talked over me, ignored me. Even though when I am Supreme Leader, I shall remember that. And
so the first one says
my
Matt,
vengeance.
Matt 1 is king. And
Matt 1 is king.
The second one says Matt,
Matt for
Supreme
Leader.
Leader.
It almost feels like the general public want more of me, Holly. Mm. Don't know what
apart from when
says.
Emma says Matt 2, his voice is just delicious.
Well, no, she
doesn't
think
your voice
she
is
says
delicious.
One of them, his voice is just delicious. And I think
it was Matt 2.
I think we all know, Emma, who you referring to. I'm doing my special voice.
Anyway, Susie, what have you selected from the notice board?
Well, this isn't going to help situations, but I've got an email from Pakesh who, with the title, Matt is amazing.
Oh, fabulous. Let's wallow in this, everyone. 2 minutes on Matt being delicious.
Amazing.
Not delicious.
Well,
where's delicious come from?
Are we going to really quibble between delicious and amazing? I don't think there's any need.
Anyway.
Carry on.
Dear Simon, Matt, Susie, and of course the mighty Holly, supreme guardian of the tat cupboard, I hope you're all well. I have been listening to you for many years, including at the other place. I am currently at home recovering from a bicycle accident where a car knocked me onto the road, which sounds more dramatic than it actually was. But your Confessions podcast has been keeping me thoroughly entertained. As I sit here sipping tea, I wonder whether Holly might be persuaded to release a sacred mug from the tap cupboard. Okay. I promise to treat it with the reverence it deserves, filled with tea, admired frequently and never used for anything morally questionable. Mm. It would really brighten up the recovery process and give me something delightfully comforting to clutch during each new episode. If the tat cupboard is running low, I completely understand. I'll simply continue listening and pretend my current mug is far more glamorous than it is. Thanks for the laughs, the company, and the ongoing moral chaos. As always, 5 stars, Prakash.
I'm not sure the moral chaos in the world is anything to do with us particularly. You can blame that on other people. Mm. But it did beg the question, what would be a morally questionable use of one of our mugs? Because Prakash has said they won't use it for anything morally questionable. It's just a mug.
No, yes.
Booze.
Is that morally questionable from someone who's
I suppose
in
it's
the
how,
pub
how,
business?
I would put booze in a mug.
Really?
What booze would you put in a mug?
I've drank wine out of a mug before.
When you were running out of wine glasses?
Yep.
What about in the pub? Can I get some wine in a mug?
Not from the bar. I wouldn't serve a customer wine in a mug. But if all of my glasses were out with customers, then I would drink out of a mug if that was the
I suppose if there's nothing else, it's yeah. you know, it's that or a plant pot or something.
It's better than
and
a shoe.
I would have, yeah, exactly. You don't just drink out of a shoe.
Pour it from the bottle into your mouth.
That's another way of doing it.
A straw.
It does feel a little desperate, but yeah. But there you go. Desperate times, isn't it?
A straw.
You've run out of glasses.
Yeah.
Anyway, Prakash, thank you. Does Prakash get something from the contact cupboard?
Yeah. I think it started off on a bad note with Matt is amazing.
Matt
the
is
title.
Amazing.
I wasn't quite
so
sure.
True.
But then he said, of course, the Mighty Holly. So you brought it back a bit there, didn't you? So,
it wasn't quite enough about Matt being amazing for me in that
I think it was just given
that was the title.
Prakash has clearly worked out, if you want to get something from the tack cupboard, praise Holly.
You
have to do that.
See, Jason Bird, when Matt was reading that out, he wanted something from the tack cupboard, but we didn't even ask.
No, did we?
We knew there was no point.
I got to think about that, Jason. But well done anyway.
Sorry, Jace, but Prakash, you are going to get a mug, which will be with you by Christmas.
Yes.
We'll say. Mm-hmm. It might be in a number of pieces, but we'll send you something. If you have anything to add to our notice board, confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Let me just mention at this point, Mr. Sean Warren, Eddie Howard, Neil Ogd, which is probably Ogden, and Jenny81, who are amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week, which was, of course, women on the banister.
Oh,
Matt
yes.
will have a new secret code phrase for you at the end of this podcast. Is that right?
I will, yes. Yeah, it'll be very good as well, I think.
Well, I think we'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, I think I will.
And now we dive into our confessions, which are marked not for broadcast under any circumstances, but maybe you can mention them on the podcast. James, now I know you might have been excited or nervous for the football, but not eating dinner combined with drinking pints like they were going out of stock was never going to end well, was it? The fact that your night ended up with your vomit blocking the disabled toilet and keeping it out of order for over a week at the pub you worked at was just disgusting, distasteful, does not need to be repeated, and certainly you don't get anything from us other than...
So hang on, it's not his fault that it's not getting cleaned up, is it? That's not down to
him.
Was
he working at the time he was drinking all this booze?
Sounds like it.
So many questions.
He vommed at work, as a result of which no one could use the loo. I'm afraid
for a week, that's a disaster. That feels
I think there was a blockage.
Well, he was the
Because of him. But you just use the thing, don't you?
Just use the thing.
The
flush?
The gutter?
The plunge.
The plunge thing. Yeah, the plunger.
Or just don't drink so much that you vom.
No, that is true. Mm. Plan ahead.
Lucy says any story involving the Mile High Club is an instant.
Oh, boy.
Not for broadcast. But okay.
Go on.
I'm just checking ahead here.
No. Good choice, yeah.
To be honest, the Mile High Club is very difficult territory. We can't really go there.
No.
Particularly... Lucy, as a queue of passengers started forming, needing to use the only working loo on the flight, but you were kind of busy in there.
I mean, what can you do? What's with all these toilet blockages?
All the blockages there.
Well, one block is vomit and the other block is...
Well, we don't need to go into
the
other
blockages.
I hope
it wasn't
a
very long flight.
No.
Well, it sounds as though Lucy and the other...
You're speechless. You don't even know what to say.
Yeah, just tie a knot in it, mate.
Also,
the loos on a flight are really small.
Not a lot of room in there.
I don't know how that's working.
Any rattling around will be amplified.
Absolutely, yeah. And who wants that? Oh, my goodness, mate.
Oh!
It's just so much hassle for not a lot of reward. Yeah. Being able to say, but
what would you say?
Well, is that kind of? Have I told this story about? Maybe I can't say. So I won't say the name of very well-known cricketer.
Yes,
Ian
Botham.
Okay,
David Gower.
We're obviously not. People will probably know this story anyway, so they'll know who it is. But I'm obviously not going to say his name. Who was involved in that?
Mile High Club business.
All of that nonsense.
But if he was a famous cricketer, then maybe he would have been in a bigger loo.
A bigger loo?
Is that how
he
was in business class or something. I don't know.
Do they have bigger loos?
Yeah.
Don't they have in first class like a shower and everything?
A shower? Right, this was back in the day. This was in the...
Late
80s. It wasn't on Concorde.
We had an air steward hosing him down.
Well, it did, because the story was told to me by the... one of the cabin crew. who's yeah. It's as grim. What? It's as grim as you think. As what you've got in your head right now.
Yes.
That. It's as grim as that.
I don't have anything in my
I'm
head.
Sure
I'm
sure we all
sure.
do. Everyone knows what I'm saying.
Was it
David Gower? No, I'm not going to say who it was.
Was it in a small loo or not?
It was. Yeah, it was in
it
the loo.
It was in
on,
the small loo.
In the, on the on
was
the
he leg before wicket?
He was very much. Outstanding.
Was it a first slip?
It was. Yeah. No. Leg before wicket was the big one. Well
okay.
Done.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. It just seems a little bit squalid.
It does.
But that's the whole point of the not for broadcast section. But Lucy, just very disappointed in you. Anyway, Simon. In. No, that's Simon. That's me.
Thanks, Simon.
Words for Simon.
Yeah. Simon says now.
Simon, enough.
Simon says. Okay. Here come the confessions that actually did make the cut. And we join Apprentice Steve for his welding confession. Everybody has to sometime break the rules.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession has a 12 certificate.
Oh, yes.
There was some discussion about whether it's a 15. But
yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Borderline 15, eh?
Borderline 15. Anyway, okay. So I'm just saying. It's not distasteful, the way tomorrow's will be. it comes from Steve. So I'm going to have to share and beg for forgiveness for what I'm about to confess. It's 1982, and I'm on a YTS, so it's a youth training scheme, at British Shipbuilders Training Centre in Hebburn, Tyne and Wear. All the local shipyards sent their apprentices there for the first year. I was learning how to weld and fabricate steel. In those days, only boys went into the shipyard, so there were no girls in the training centre anywhere. So, to my surprise, one day I was approached by my boss, Mr. Charlton, who introduced me to a young lady. She was in her early 20s with long brown hair and an equally long face. Mr. Charlton informed me that she was a Royal Naval officer, okay. Here to learn, as he put it, how we build ships. He instructed me to show the young lady how we cut steel using a gas cutting torch. After Mr. Charlton departed with a smirk on his face, I turned to the young lady and smiled. The gesture was met with a tilt of the head, followed by, "Well, tell me what you do." So I now understood why Mr. Charlton was so anxious to offload her. I gave her a heavy suede jacket to wear, explaining that molten metal could burn through her badly fitting boiler suit. She put it on, leaving the top button undone. I talked her through the procedure before demonstrating cutting through a piece of 1-inch thick steel plate. Then I beckoned her forward to try for herself, advising her to do up the top press stud of the jacket. Now, at this point, I should have told her why we do up all the studs, but since she refused to listen to a 16-year-old lad, given the responsibility for educating a serving naval officer, I continued handing the torch to her, but I did advise her to do the top button up.
Okay.
At this point, I should explain why the top stud must be fastened. It must be fastened.
It must be, yeah.
Molten metal sparks smaller than a grain of sand will travel down the body with the aid of gravity undetected until it reaches, shall we say, an obstacle. And then it stops and will burn whatever and wherever it sticks.
Oh, my.
That is why you do the top stud up.
Of course, yes. Mm.
Anyone who has performed this process will remember what it's like. Yet again, I urged the side of caution, repeating my request that she do the studs up to the neck. But the answer was no. It was too late. She'd already got the plate glowing yellow. The trigger was released to begin the cutting process. Molten metal showered the floor, occasionally spitting upwards in her general direction and her exposed neck. What followed was absolute bedlam as she let out a blood-curdling scream. The cutting torch was dropped, the goggles discarded, along with the heavy jacket. Then she became what I could only describe as a breakdancing stripper. The boiler suit, off came her T-shirt and jeans until she was able to dispel the cooling ball of fire from her, it says here, from her public area. So anyway, that's basically where the ball of fire
ended up.
All right, I'm not absolutely sure where the bullets. Keep going.
don't need to know.
Don't even need to know, really. Yeah.
This had drawn a crowd, including Mr. Charlton, who was back, and whose attempts to calm her down only seemed to add to her rage. As our eyes met, she made a lunge for me, forgetting that her jeans and boiler suit were around her ankles.
What?
So she inadvertently fell into my arms before I could remind her that I had advised her to do the jacket up properly, and if she'd listened to me, she wouldn't be in this predicament. Do you, Simon, and Brother Matt see a road to forgiveness? I won't bother asking, Susie, as you girls ultimately stick together.
Okay.
Well, wow.
The then young naval officer may still hold a torch following our embrace and possibly a small scar, as Steve says, in the never region. Okay.
Oh, right. Right, okay, got it now.
Yeah.
Well, before when he said it was the public area.
Yeah. Well, so, could have, anyway, don't he, even need to...
You could have made it,
it
clearer, but I thought it was best.
No, you were right to do that.
To leave it in shadow, shall we say, smudged the lens. Anyway, I mean, it's a very, very painful story.
Ouch.
Not as painful as tomorrow's, but anyway.
Wow.
It's a welding confession, and she clearly should have listened to Steve's advice, Suze.
Well, yeah, she clearly should have listened to Steve's advice. I feel like Steve could have done a bit more. He did a very good job at explaining to us why you need to wear it. He didn't really explain that to the lady, and he maybe could have done that a little bit better. And I was all on Steve's side that she sounds like a bit annoying, and I was going to forgive. But until the very end, where he said, "You always stick together," and that I think is rude, and therefore I'm not going to forgive you, Steve, just for that line.
Stick together because of that.
I'm not sticking with her. She sounds really annoying, but Steve's just annoyed me.
But anyway, Brother Matthew.
Yes, I'm going to forgive. It seems a bit weird that they're just handing out blowtorches to random visitors. I'm not sure that's such a great idea.
It's 1982.
It was 1980, wasn't it, on the YTS? But, you know, he did tell her multiple times, do up that top button, but she didn't want to listen with her hoity-toity ways in being in the Navy or something. And then it went all the way down. But glad that we all worked out where that was.
Well, I think you were the last.
Probably, yeah. Definitely forgiven. Well done.
Saint or sinner? Find them all on Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
I think you were the last to work it out.
I think I wasn't. I think there was some ambiguity.
There was some ambiguity because I removed a couple of words.
I'll bet. Yes.
Yeah.
That's providing good. The ambiguity.
Yes, yeah, yeah. But it was fine. Everyone understood in the end, didn't they? Very good.
With the use of public area, I think that's...
Yeah, no, we've got that now.
Do we?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Coming up, we joined trainee nurse Susan and an elderly gentleman who needed some treatment in our confession called In Through the Outdoor. But first, it's Emma's confession. Welcome to the House of Fun.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
So let's check in with today's confession, which comes from Emma. I think there's a PG, but it's, you know, compared with yesterday, it's tame. Father Simon, it has taken me a while to work out precisely how to tell you my tale so that it was suitable for the drive time audience. That was until I heard a certain Madness song recently on GHR when all became clear. Cast your mind back to the mid-1980s, when, like a lot of 17 to 18-year-olds, I had a Saturday job in a certain high street drugstore somewhere in the southeast of England. This being the 1980s, we had old-fashioned tills, where you had to enter the prices manually from the little sticky price tag.
Yeah, remember that?
Remember that? Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes items were missed by the pricing guns and labels fell off, or we sold so many of an item that we'd all be familiar with the price, so we didn't actually have to bother marking them up in the first place. These were the old days.
They were the very old days.
Before the war. Now, this store was located in a 1970s shopping centre, facing one of the main entrances from the bus station and plentiful seating areas where groups of lads often congregated.
Mm.
The Saturday staff were mainly young females, with one male regional store manager who occasionally popped in, and a matriarchal supervisor trying hard to keep us all on our toes. As you can imagine, we Saturday girls were quite a handful, which, alongside the groups of young lads who would visit us, meant that there was plenty of joshing, planning of that evening's entertainment, and the occasional romantic date arranged.
Oh.
There was a certain product, which we sold in a chemist, Think House of Fun by Madness.
Oh, yes. Okay, we're all there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was some embarrassment about purchasing this product, so they would often be hidden amongst other items on the conveyor belt. Under a three-pack of disposable razors was a favourite one.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the time, we girls were entirely mature about this and ran up all the items on the till and then put them through as quickly as possible to save any blushes. However, this particular group of lads on this particular Saturday, although entertaining and helping us get through the day until cashing up time, was sometimes a little bit too much. And so, therefore, we hatched a plan. It was the habit that if an unfamiliar and unpriced item appeared, we would hold it up for everyone to see and shout, "Price, please!"
Yes.
Across the store, hoping that one of our colleagues would quickly check the shelf price and come back to us so that we could continue. As I said, we knew the prices of most items, but now and then the lads needed taking down a peg or two, so we began to hold up their party poppers when they came through the till and loudly called, "Price, please!" Much to their embarrassment. So it would go something like this. Detergent! Thank you. Pack of plasters! Oh, executive party poppers. Pack of four. "Price, please!"
Executive party.
A colleague would then pretend to struggle to find the exact item whilst it was still being held aloft and deliberately take their time returning with the price, prolonging their discomfort, even though we all knew it was 52 pence. I would therefore like to ask forgiveness from all of those that we embarrassed over the years who were just trying to do the right thing. And yes, dear listener, I did end up marrying one of those pesky lads.
Wow, there's a little bit of a turnaround there,
I would say. Okay, Emma, so it all ended up okay, but a lot of fun to be had. I've heard this happening in a number of shops. I've heard it happening in bookshops, you know, when certain books are bought.
Oh, the...
manuals.
The
annuals?
Yeah.
No, the manuals.
You call out the title of the book.
What? Do they call them
manuals? I've got this book. Insert book here.
Yeah, we know the book.
Okay, you're buying that one. Anyway, Sister Susie.
Well, Emma, that's made me laugh. I don't think you've done anything wrong. I just feel like very funny. Lad's probably embarrassed. I'm going to forgive you. No harm done.
Well, unless you're one of the lads.
Well, but you probably, you know, took it in your stride, didn't you?
Okay, well, maybe, but let's see what matters.
Well, yes, I'm definitely going to forgive because they ended up getting married, didn't they? How wonderful that is. What a great story that is that you met over the executive party poppers. like that a lot. And they were being responsible, weren't they? Don't overlook that with the party poppers.
Strange
voice there.
Yeah, so definitely, for all of those reasons, am I going to forgive?
You are going to forgive.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So, like I say, this is just a little bit of a warning. It's certainly a 12 certificate, and if you're eating, it's medical and it's fine.
And it's medical.
Okay. It comes from Susan. Simon, Matt, Sister Holly and Susie, a.k.a. the Tolerant and Understanding Collective. I seek forgiveness for the following description of a snapshot of my early nursing career. The reason for my confession occurred 42 years ago when I was in my first year of nurse training. Quite how I'd made it thus far was an enigma. At the time, I was very self-conscious and I hadn't yet learnt how to stick up for myself and was easily flustered, not perhaps the best qualities for a successful nursing career. To top it all, I'm hemophobic. Yes, a fear of blood.
Oh, no.
Doc Martin had nothing on me. Even the mention of blood renders me fearful of fainting. Well, a fat lot of use you are.
Okay.
Anyway.
Right.
I was working on my third ward, male surgical. Sister was a hard taskmaster, like so many of her era. In her presence, junior nursing and medical staff frequently faltered in their tracks. Sister only needed to glance in one's general direction to induce fear and trepidation. She enforced rules rigidly, leaving no room for disobedience or dissent. Hattie Jakes had nothing on her. There's topical reference.
Yes, good.
Consequently, one went to extreme lengths to avoid her. Hiding in the linen cupboard was my preferred tactic. Worryingly for me, I fell far short of her exacting standards. Sister never missed an opportunity to be disparaging of my work. Her surly look of disappointment and disapproval was burnt into my brain. However, it was my task this inauspicious day to give a patient a suppository.
Okay.
I shall call my patient I should call my patient Justin for reasons that might become evident later.
Come on!
For those who don't know, a suppository is not given orally.
No, it's not.
To my abject horror, I learnt that certain medications are administered where, in all my previous experience, things had only ever come out of, but never went into.
Okay.
Up to this point in my life, I had never, ever seen anyone else's bottom close up. Never mind. Put something in it.
No! Well, then
where? Whilst I nervously prepared the tools of Justin's torture, Sister brusquely explained the ins and outs of this humiliating procedure, which was to be Justin's torment. To give some background, Justin hadn't been for several days and therefore required assistance. I tried desperately not to visualise the task in hand. This wasn't easy, as Sister had so diligently described my objective in graphic detail. For those who have never experienced the indignity of having a suppository, they are torpedo-shaped medicinal units of solidified glycerin. Once in position, they melt at body temperature, if it hasn't melted from the heat of one's hand, and here the glycerin is released to promote a rapid conclusion, thus hopefully providing rapid relief.
Rapid, yeah.
The suppository, being bullet-shaped, has a pointy end and a flat, disc-shaped end. To my horror and sheer amazement, Sister informed me that it would go in more easily, flat end first. This made no sense to me. How could pushing in the larger surface area first be easier? This all seemed highly confusing. Fearing repercussions if I were to vocalise my doubts, I proceeded to do exactly as Sister instructed. She could probably do this with her eyes shut, which at that moment is exactly what I would have liked to have done. Thus, I pushed all doubt from my mind. Sister knows what she's talking about. Justin was an elderly gentleman. I pitied him for being my guinea pig. Having received Sister's thorough instruction, I nervously prepared Justin for his procedure while surreptitiously avoiding eye contact.
probably for the best, I would say. I don't want eye contact either.
I was advised that a little medical lubricant would assist matters.
Oh, wow.
Now the suppository slipped about in my gloved hand. I couldn't get a grip of it, or myself, for that matter. Justin was curled on his left side with his knees under his chin, and unfortunately for both of us, the moment we'd both dreaded had arrived. Having gloved up and applied the jelly to the suppository, I had left the moment of the big reveal to the last possible moment. I felt too embarrassed to have anything more than a fleeting glance. I fumbled for the entry point whilst trying to keep a grip on the slippery suppository. Once I found the target, I began pushing flat end first as instructed. The suppository had barely touched Justin's skin before he started shouting in discomfort. Thankfully, I don't remember the words he used, but his tone was certainly one of abject discomfort. Was this normal? Did this really hurt so much? Sister hadn't prepared me for this. I nervously assured Justin it would be over soon, and I tried to encourage him to relax. He shouted louder and began wriggling. Rashly, I decided to speed up, and I informed Justin that I would push on the count of three. But again, this was to no avail. More utterances of pain and discomfort poured from his lips. I decided to withdraw and review, as this suppository was going nowhere useful. It was at this point I realised the flaw in my attempted delivery of said suppository. For those who don't know, in those days a suppository had a very hard, clear plastic covering with edges that were sharp enough to slice cheese. To my eternal dismay and horror, I hadn't removed the protective covering. I honestly don't know who was in more of a state. I admit that the fear of Sister's retribution left me with no other option than to negotiate a final attempt, but this time without the hard, cuts like a knife, plastic covering.
Oh, dear me.
To this day, I don't know how I managed to negotiate another attempt or why poor Harris Justin agreed. I discreetly removed the plastic covering, applied more lubricant inside my rubber gloves. My palms were sweating, making the handling of the slippery, by now floppy, glycerin suppository very difficult. The hotter my hands became, the floppier the suppository grew. I don't know how, but my mission was eventually accomplished. Good fortune had finally prevailed. For the final insult, I was charged with the responsibility of informing Justin that his task now was to hang on to the suppository for 20 minutes in order for it to work its magic. Now I write this sorry tale, begging forgiveness, not for the ordeal I put Justin through, for had I not succeeded, he would surely have dreaded further repetition of this ordeal. And besides, he was elderly 40 years ago. so he's probably not with us anymore.
No, I write asking
for forgiveness from all those people to whom I've relayed this story while splitting my sides with laughter. I apologise, my tale has probably done little to quell their anxiety about any hospital trips that they might have in the future. There was a warning.
Yes, there was, wasn't there?
Sister Susan.
Susan, that really made me laugh. And I just thought, you know, who would want to be in that situation? I don't know. But I feel like you handled it very well. Maybe check the packaging, first of all. But just for the lines, you know, I've never seen anyone's bottom close up. And rapid conclusion, I'm going to forgive because best one in a while.
Okay, Brother Matthew.
Sloppy suppository. Seen them live. So, yes, I'm definitely going to forgive. That is, as Sue says, one of the funniest we've done in a while. Although I think we were all shifting quite a lot in our seats there.
Yes.
Feeling the pain on Justin's behalf, I think, there. But yes, definitely forgiven. Why wouldn't she give him more help? Why didn't someone tell her about taking the cover off? Surely that's number one, instead of which way you put it in.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
All right, that's it.
Yeah, that was, yes.
I thought you were going to keep going there.
I did, but I said forgiven. Did I say forgiven? I should have said forgiven.
Did you say forgiven?
Somewhere. It feels like I was cut off there. Probably by the music, yes.
No, you were. What carried on was Simon reading out the number because you kept interrupting Simon trying to...
Yeah, so we were running out of time.
I was trying to get into Rolls Royce or something.
I think it was something like that. But you do think if...
I can see clearly now.
Oh, Kenny Rogers. Yeah.
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers.
I don't think so. Thank you, Dr.
He's a great version. I'm not sure whether it's well known.
But you would think that a suppository...
Yes.
In a case is going to be particularly if it's sharp enough to cut through cheese. You would notice.
Why would they make it sharp enough to cut through cheese though? Given what's
But you're not supposed to.
No, you're not supposed to put it all in, are you? No.
Why did it have a cover in the first place?
Keep it clean.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean.
That
like this
make
show.
A lot of sense.
Keep it clean. Yes. But,
are you likening this show to a suppository?
Well, yes, keeping it clean, aren't we? That's what I think. Well, thank God I'm here to keep it clean. That's
hashtag.
Hashtag Matt for Supreme Leader. Yes.
Okay, I think we need to draw a veil over proceedings. Apart from the fact that, just to remind you that if you have a confession inspired by any of the filth that we've been talking about, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Brother Matthew has this week's secret code phrase.
Yes, I do. And the secret code phrase that I have selected for this week will be the following code phrase, which,
Can I suggest sloppy suppository?
Let's say that! What an excellent idea. Sloppy suppository is your code phrase for the week.
I always thought that you planned this ahead of time, but it turns out that...
It's very much like freeform jazz.
I knew
like,
you were going to say that phrase. Yeah.
That's all over.
Anyway, if you made it this far, you can post this week's code phrase on Threads or Blue Sky or Instagram or X, because Matt's still on there.
Yeah.
Remember to leave us a 5-star review. Please don't forget to share the podcast with a friend at church. And we'll be...
We're doing it at church now?
Apparently.
Well, no, you can do it any way you like.
I mean, they started it, didn't they?
They did start the confession business. Oh, that's true. They did, didn't they?
Anyway, more confessions next week. Until then, from Sister Susie, she says...
Ta-ra!
Sister Holly says...
Hasta la vista, baby!
Brother Matthew says...
Bye.
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Oh, someone's phone nearby. Simon.
Not me. Definitely not me.
Okay, it's now stopped.
I'm on.
It's not me. It definitely
saying.
Wasn't you.
No. Yeah. I have on non-interference mode.
Oh, do you?
Oh, is that a special mode? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.